This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today, we'll be discussing the third stage of increase. And it is important that if they can, that they hear it directly from me. Although, of course, the recording is available. And for today's class, I'm going to show you from the life of maybe two or three characters how to become a blessing. How to become a blessing. There are so many people I know who are very rich, but they are not blessings. They didn't have the mentality of being blessings. Somebody in the Bible called Nabal, the husband of, I believe, Abigail. The Bible said he was rich, but he didn't know how to be a blessing. He didn't know how to be a blessing. That somebody has substance does not mean the person is a blessing. There are some people that the Bible said money cries in their hand. Money. When money comes into their hand, money will be lamenting. Money will say, hey, they are going to use me to do evil. They are going to use me to kill people. Please, God, deliver me from this person. Let me go to Barak Benga. Let me go to Barak Benga. Their money will be lamenting in their hand every day. I'm not making it up. The Bible said so. The Bible said in the hand of many, they are in the hand of the wicked, that fortune, money, substance, cries. Says, they are not going to use me to do God's will. This man does not want to use me to do God's will. Oh, God, please deliver me from this man. Money will be crying that God should deliver him from the hand of the wicked. That he may go to the house of the righteous, where money and substance will become a blessing. That money will rejoice and say, thank God, I'm being put to good use. This person that has me is putting me, I'm happy with the way I'm being used. So people don't automatically become blessings. They have to learn how to be a blessing. So we saw the rich man and Lazarus. We saw in it that the rich man was not a blessing. He had everything. He couldn't set Lazarus up so that he can be independent. He was happy to have Lazarus at his table begging, because some people, seeing you suffer makes them feel important. It makes them feel as if, I'm not like this person. This person that I'm the one feeding him, I'm not paying the children's school fees. So there are some people that are like that. Their sense of worth depends on seeing other people's lack of worth. So they do not appropriate value to those who they think does not have substance, especially financial substance. You will see how people will defer to the rich and cheat the poor. and you realize that, oh my God, this thing is endemic. It is not even, it's a general thing globally. A general thing. It is prevalent in Africa. If I want to go to some places, there's a kind of car I drive. Once I drive the car, everybody will be doing, yes, sir. About, ha. And it's told me they are saluting. It's the car. They'll be touching the car, putting their hand on their head. And I'll be looking like them, I'll see. This is how not to be great. By the grace of God today, we are going to learn. And the essence of this class is to open our minds so that you begin to function in the right mindset that causes expansion and increase from the inside. From the inside. From the inside. A poor man is poor inside. A wealthy man is wealthy inside. It is not the substance of what comes to you. It is the substance of what comes out of you, out of your belly. What is the substance coming out? That is what makes you a blessing. It is either you are a blessing or you are not. We saw Mr. Nobu, Mr. Nobel, the owner, the one that started the Nobel Prize for all forms of work. You know, he made this money by making dynamites, weapons of mass destruction. As soon as he discovered it, he became rich. People were buying dynamite and they were killing themselves. And he became rich. And history said, he got to a point, he got so sad. He said, this is my handiwork that has been used to destroy, to fight in many wars and to destroy so many good things. And then he thought of how to redeem his name. So he started the Nobel Prize so that when people remember him, they will not remember him for the evil thing he invented. They will remember him for the prize for literature, for peace. That's how till tomorrow, when people talk about Alfred Nobel, they don't remember the evil that he did. They always remember him. They always mention his name in line with somebody that is recognizing something good all over the world. So how do you become a blessing? Let's take our first person. The first person is Abraham. We know that Abraham didn't come from poverty. When he left his father's house, he left with property, with substance. We also know that Abraham is a generous person. He was willing to make his own slave, his heir, and his niece, his nephew, also followed him at that slot on the trip out of the Ur of the Chaldees. At that time, it was at his first level of increase, obedience. First level of increase, obedience, hearing the voice of God, following the voice of God. Then Abraham got to the second level of increase. He began to fulfill prophecy. Everything that God told, that God said he was going to do to redeem Adam. Adam had not died, but Abraham was one of the sons of Adam. And so it was easy. It was easy at every level, and in every case, it was very easy for God to then turn to Abraham. It was easy for God to then turn to Abraham and for God to say to him, I would like you to begin the process for the redemption of Adam. Of course, that was not how God told him. God just told him, circumcise yourselves. By this mark will I know you. Many of us don't know that when God began that process, what God was then doing was to begin to prepare a way to identify the Jews so that through the Jews, Jesus can come. So the process that will bring Jesus started with Abraham. The process that will bring Jesus started with Abraham. So he became a fulfiller of prophecy. He began to do the things that God had in mind to get done for the purpose of fulfilling God's vision. I talked about that yesterday. And then after he had done that for a while, the stage came for him to become a blessing. How did Abraham become a blessing? Genesis 19. God came to Abraham in Genesis 18 to have a meal with him under the oak of Mamre. After the meal, God gave Sarah a son. As God was leaving, God said, I have to share my thought with Abraham. Then God told him that he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah and that they were going to check out the cry of people out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that if they found it to be true, that that place has been corrupted beyond redemption, they had a plan to destroy the place. Then Abraham did what we will call intercession. He said, please, Lord, what if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you spare the entire city? He didn't tell God to spare only the 50. He said the entire city. You will notice that at this point, Abraham had no skin in the game. He had no horse in the game. He wasn't thinking selfishly. He had become a blessing. He had become someone who can now take a plea to God. He has become somebody who can influence God's decision. Who God will say, I'm going to do A. And he has grown now in his walk with God. He has grown to the point where he can say, do let us do it like that, sir. You know, if you have a child at home, child is 2 years old, 3 years old, the child does not contribute to all discussions. It's a baby. You make all decisions for that child. The dad gets to age 10, 11. You still make all the decisions, but this time the child participates. You will tell him, go and bring that spoon. Do you want to eat? Okay, go and get a cup. bring the Cerelac or bring the Golden Month. Or, okay, go to the store and get me some biscuits. So the child begins to participate even in his own blessing. But a time will come, you will say, I want to do this. And your child will say, Daddy, do let us do it that way. At that level, the child has gone to the top level. This level is level of influence. This child is beginning to have influence on you. And this same principle applies to us and God. Some people, they don't obey God, but they want God to obey them. They want to influence God's decision, but if God speaks to them, they always do their will. They always do their will. They will do what is in their heart to do. Even if God says, sir, don't do that, they will say, no, nobody can beg me. Even if God comes down from heaven to beg me, I will not listen. There are people like that, that they will even say, that they will talk like that. I met many people like that. That somebody will offend them. They will not want to take a step, maybe of punishment. And you will look at it and you say, let me intercede, let me intervene. Let me talk to this person and tell this person to take it easy. And I'll say, please take it easy. This matter shouldn't be this difficult. And they'll be like, no. Even if God leaves his throne and begs me, I will not listen. Anybody that has that kind of a mindset can never be a blessing. It is out of the goodness of God that goodness flows out of us. We are basically a channel, a conduit through which the goodness of God must flow. So if you stop the goodness of God from flowing, you can then not expect that the goodness will not flow from you to God or from you to other people. If it does not flow through you, it cannot flow to you. If it cannot flow through you, it cannot flow to you. So all men must learn how to allow the goodness of God flow through them, because if it will flow through you, then it will flow to you. So Abraham then began the work of intercession. And he was talking to them, please, Lord, okay, 40, okay, 30, okay, 20. And he negotiated to the point where God realized that, okay, even if we didn't find any, even if it is one or two or three, we will save the ones we found. And God fulfilled his word to Abraham. God saved Lot. God saved Lot's children. After this, Abraham realized that every decision he then took from that moment on, God basically just sanctions it. Abraham has become what we call a mature son. He was a man who can eat with God and live. A man who can have discussions, who God can take in his imputes, who can tell God, "Ah, sir, please have mercy on this person." And God will say, "Ah, for the sake of my servant Abraham, I will not do this thing." What I just said is in the Bible in several places. God says this about David. God will say, "Ah, I have predetermined in my heart to punish these people, but for the sake of my servant David, I repent." So again, you can see the power of the influence of that person that has become a blessing. So anybody that has become a blessing, the person has what we call spiritual leverage. That means that person has some good stock that it can trade with God in order to get certain things done. God will say, "Ah, for the sake of Abraham, for the sake of Jesus." See, it means they have become a blessing. That is the principle behind some of the churches who will canonize saints and then be praying through them. It is born of the belief that these people have become, by virtue of their interactions with God, that they had become, in quotes, people that can influence divine decision. And so you can tell them to talk to God on your behalf. So which was why some people now took it to the extreme, and you will now see them talking about saints and all these patrons, and they'll say they are praying for them, and that those ones will be the one to then relay their prayer to God. That is wrong. They took it the wrong way. But the principle behind it was the principle that I just showed you in the life of Abraham. That God will say, "I want to do a certain thing," and a man who has worked with God for so long that God has become fond of, or God has come to love so much, will then say to God, "Please, don't do it." And God will say, "Ah, I changed my mind. That man there, that's a blessing." The second example I want to give you is the example of a man called Melchizedek. The Bible told us about Melchizedek. Some people in today's world believe that Melchizedek is all divine. It's not. It's a man. He was a survivor of the flood, of the great floods of the days of Noah. One of the sons, direct sons of Noah. And after they survived the flood, and human population began to grow again, there are some of them that, what they have seen, the ancient wisdom and knowledge and understanding that they have, made them almost like hermits. People really don't interact with human realities anymore. So when you are saying, "Oh, it has no beginning, it has no end," it is because nobody can trace its origin. Abraham then met with Melchizedek, and Abraham recognized him immediately as the kind of man that can bless you. So it is not all men that can bless you. Even you know that it is not every man that can be a blessing to you. All of us listen to me. There are some people that if they see you and they say, "Come, kneel down, let me pray for you," you will say, "Eh? Eh? That's rude of you. That's Hey, I should kneel down for you to pray for me. You. That even if the person has, you know in your heart that this person cannot be a blessing to you. Cannot bless me spiritually, cannot bless me physically. And yet, there are some people that once you see them, you'll be the one to say, bless me. Please lay your hands on me and speak to me. Say a word that can change my life. Speak into my situation. Why is that? Because our spirits know those who are blessings. The most important thing, however, is that you move from somebody who has his or her antenna out, looking for somebody that can bless him or her, to becoming somebody who people will want to bless them. So that is the essence of today's class. That a Christian may no longer beg, cry, or weep for favors, but that the Christian becomes the one who favors people. The one who everybody wants to pray for them. The one who everybody wants to be involved in the matter. The one who everybody says wants to talk to him. This matter is over. How do I become a blessing? How do I become like a Melchizedek? Somebody who would say a word and it would be as if God himself has spoken. Somebody who will speak a word and people would be willing to say, in exchange for this one word you spoke, we are willing to give material blessings. Imagine that. Imagine that Melchizedek and Abraham did not exchange goods and services. Melchizedek gave Abraham words, and Abraham gave Melchizedek the best of the best of the loot of war. So one gave words and one gave material possession. And it is still counted in the Bible that the one that gave words gave the higher gift. No? Culture, they will say that when people are spending money, but you not spend words. That is a natural principle among the sons of men. In the realm of the spirit, where people are spending money, may you have words. May the word of God come through you. May the word of God come to you. The word of God is big and strong. There is nothing it cannot produce. In the realm of the spirit, it is the currency of life. And so it was words that Melchizedek gave Abraham. Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. And as Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Abraham's path and life experienced the surge like never before. And yet, Abraham only gave him in exchange a few gold and silver and what have you, just to say thank you. Of the two of them, Melchizedek was the blessing. Abraham was the receiver. How do you become a Melchizedek? How do you become a Jesus? How do you become a David? How do you become somebody who will step into another person's situation and the situation of that person will turn around, will change? How will you become somebody who will step into an office and the scale of death in that office will stop? I remember some years back, I was a company. They were losing every 3 months, they would lose a staff. Every 3 months. To the point where many of the staff members began to suspect the owner of the business as somebody who is fetish and somebody has done something diabolic. and they are always talking about it. And the more they talk about it, the more people died. And this man wrote me a passionate letter. When one of the female staff members they had an accident and died, it was shot. She was shot mistakenly in a tricycle. Was shot somebody. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe they were shooting, or maybe they are cultists, or what have you. And his tail bullets just hit her, and she died. And this man wrote to me and he said, "Ah, why? Why? Why are people dying in my company? They've given me a bad name. I was thinking that we will survive this quarter, I fasted and prayed, and now see this, where I bring her." And I said, "Okay. Assemble your staff members. I'm coming. Let me just come and see." We went to the office, shook hands with them, played with them, sat there for about 4 hours. And when I was tired, I got to my car and I left. The pastor called me and said, "Ah, I know you're a man of this place, but you didn't pray for us." I said, "Ah, no. I didn't come to pray. I came to show. I came to show death that life has come and it should no longer operate in that environment." Come that. Number one, you must let go of self. A man who is going to be a well from where the whole community draws water cannot ever think of thirst. A well can never think of thirst. A well is supposed to be filled with water year in, year out. And so it shouldn't think of thirst. It should just be thinking of how to be a blessing. How to be a blessing. The moment the well starts thinking of thirst, it begins to dry. So please don't forget that. You must be so determined that you will not be thinking, "Oh, me, only me, give me. Ah, why did you give that person this? I've been asking for a car for 5 years. You don't give the car to this person. Ah, God, my car." All those selfish prayers, selfish thoughts, you have to lay them to bed. You have to put them aside. You have to put them aside. You have to know that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can no longer see people as your rivals. People are either born again or not. The ones that are born again are your brothers and sisters who are supposed to be joint heirs with you, and they are supposed to do the work of the gospel with you. The ones that are not born again are lost souls. They are to be found at all costs. You must understand that. And so that is where you take your thinking from. "Ah, Lord, how do I help this person? How do I help this person? How do I help this person? How do I become a blessing to this person?" This is the number one thought of a blessing. A blessing becomes a channel for blessing when people deem it fit to call. Say, "Ah, how are you? Are you Dr. so and so?" You say, "Yeah, I am. Ah, I have this health challenge. I'm just calling you. Aha, you are becoming a blessing." The person did not come to the hospital so that it can be some redeemed or attacked to you or sent to you for. No, the person deliberately heard about you and decided that they wanted to come to you and ask you for help. That person in his or her heart has decided that you're a blessing and that he has a right to the blessing of God that is with you. Oh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. A blessing is one who knows that the will of God in this world, in his lifetime, will be fulfilled because he will fulfill it. The plan of God will be done because he himself will do it. And if there should be any adjustment, he has the hand of God enough to ask the Lord to adjust where need be. That is a blessing. So you have to be determined not to put yourself in the crossfire. Not to think only of yourself. You should know that being a blessing means being an ever-flowing channel of living water to the whole world. That's what it means to be a blessing. Number two, practice how to be generous. So people will say, I don't have enough to share. I don't have enough to give. When they have a penny, they don't have enough. When they have 5 pennies, they don't have enough. When they have 50 pennies, it is not enough. When they have 100 pennies, it's not enough. The same attitude they had when they had 200 pennies. The same attitude they had when they had 2,000 pennies, the worldview, the age, everything. You must never, never shy away from doing whatever the Lord has directed in your heart, especially as it pertains to blessing others. When you begin to bless other people and you begin to see them rise, you have become a blessing. When two, three, four, five people can tell their story, how they overcome, how they became born again, how they started reading the scriptures, how they found God, how they deepened their friendship with God, and they begin to do this, then you are a blessing. And so you must be deliberate about becoming a blessing, about being a blessing, about being known as a blessing, not as the kind of blessing that is plain eye service, not the kind of blessing that is just ranting and making all sorts of noise. It will be the kind of blessing that just stays steadily or stealthily, that will keep its head under water. That would be a hand that will never cast iron, and that will be empowered to bless others who can't do things, who can stand on their own, so that they can begin to stand on their own. It is very important that you are a blessing, and that you walk in understanding of the work of God for blessings. It must be a blessing. How to be a blessing. Number three, pick someone, maybe younger than you, maybe a child, and train the person. Studies have shown that those who help nurture other people's children, that not only does God satisfy them with long life, God satisfy them with good life, and God ensures that they do not carry the trauma or the burden of the past into the future. So you have to think in this kind of, how do I be this? How am I going to be the one the Lord loves? The one the Lord has through him channeled blessings to so many. There's nothing like don't dream or don't hear from God. There's nothing like that. It is important that you hear from God. That you hear from God clearly. It's also important that you pay attention to the instructions of God for you and for your family. Oh, the cup has this. Father, it is important that if anybody around you find themselves in a pickle, that they can depend on you to be a blessing. It is important to be a blessing. It is important to move from one level to the other in the realm of the spirit. It is important to be a blessing. For in the realm where you belong and where I belong, there are wonders untold there. And the wonders come to us immediately. The wonders speak of the expression of God in our realities. And as we express these wonders, we are a blessing to all those who are around us. So you must endeavor to be a blessing. You must endeavor to do things the right way. You must endeavor to show forth the fruit of the kingdom of God that is attached to you. Oh, capacity. You must have the mindset that no matter what you may go through in this life, God does not, God loves you. And he does not want anything evil to happen to you. You must embrace that. How to be a blessing? David started as a shepherd boy. David received his first real call into ministry when he was 17 years old, when he was told he was going to be king. Before then, he had been thrown in jail for being loyal to God and not sleeping with Potiphar's wife. But while he was in jail, in the pit of the pit of the pit, there was only one thing to do. Yes, sir. What is it you want? I had a bad dream. Can you interpret it for me? Maybe they do this. Another person will come. Eventually, it became known as the purveyor. And they're like, oh my God. He didn't know that the day would come. Didn't know the day would come under the temple. When the blessing of God upon his life will be put to test in front of Goliath. David was a blessing. David is still a blessing. So you must understand how blessings are made. What is their essence? Why is it that there are so many cruel people in this world? And then there are very few who are on the positive aspect of reality. You must tell yourself this too consistently. That you belong to God, the owner of heaven and earth. And that as promised that you will not suffer your feet to be removed. He will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. You must always remember that when you speak and you accept and you affirm God's word, it is as if God Himself is speaking. It is very key. It is very strategic that the word of God in your life do not fall to the ground. How can I be a blessing? In modern times, God has done it in such a way that he doesn't need anything from us. However, daily, we need something from God. We need power. We need might. We need grace. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that by the grace of God we see and celebrate the faithfulness of God. How to be a blessing. Once we become generous, the next thing to do is to announce to all who care to know that you are a blessing. Now, this is the most difficult part. People don't like talking about such things. But you are a blessing. Let it be known in the subconscious. Let it be known in the mind that you are a blessing. I should start to be because how to be a blessing. When a Christian begins the journey of maturity, at first you see myself as alone. Suddenly he begins to feel the presence of God around him physically. So he's no longer alone. And then maritally. If the Lord helps him, he will be able to achieve many things without sweat. He will be able to speak among his peers, and his voice will be heard. And the reason his voice is listened to, people want to listen to his voice, is because they know that he's a man of substance. It will be a blessing. It's not a selfish quest. When somebody needs anything, either a dress or anything, the person says, I'm going to my blessing. I'm going to my blessing. When you are a blessing, there is no door you knock that will not be opened unto you. So we must learn how to be a blessing. We must clear our mindset of all doubts. We must clear ourselves of all negative time doubts. We must affirm the word of God in ourselves over and over again. For the Lord is good and his mercy is endure. We will then notice that gradually people will begin to come to us. Sometimes they will ask for wisdom, sometimes knowledge. Sometimes someone will be so bold, they will ask for material things, they ask for money, they ask for this and that. But if you are a blessing, your bars are overflowing even before. In fact, you will not know that there's anything they call family. But you must be a blessing first. A blessing does not speak talk down on people. He or she does not consider anybody is her enemy. No matter what you tell the blessing, no matter how you frame it, a blessing does not bow to the whims and purpose of anybody. That has to be a blessing. That justice will be done. Justice will be seen to be done. That has to be a blessing. Always remember that because you know how to be something, does not necessarily translate to you becoming that thing. There is work to put in. And that work majorly is in the mindset of every one of us. We want certain things. And because of that, we are willing to compromise a lot of things. At the end of the day, because of the compromise we've made on so many things, we find ourselves unable to fulfill our obligation to God. God has told you, this is what I want you to do. But you have lost the momentum. You have surely shallied. And now the blessing is still there, but it's not as prominent as you desire. Oh, that is not the way. By going to be a blessing, you would do things beyond excellence for him. You are going to do it for everybody. You are going to show them the spirit of excellence all the time. So you must be a blessing. Oh, bless the Lord of my soul. I know that this will be a blessing for you. As we begin to wind down this class, I want to ask if at any time God has spoken to you, either to you or by yourself, and God has said to you, I will sort you out. I will say to you, I will make your name great again. I will make your name great again. The duty of a blessing is to hear certain moves of the Spirit, be a part of certain moves of the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit and His Father to care or to handle all issues pertaining to you. See, it is important that people test the blessing to know if that's a good standing. You cannot just be a blessing by keeping quiet. That's not being a blessing. You are being a blessing because the word of God says this is the level at which you operate now. In giving to others, praying for them, meeting their needs, championing their cause like Boaz, you will bring desolate places back to life again. You bring ruins into desolate places, and you solve several issues. You will put an end to several issues that is causing hardship for those souls you have sold and the souls you are about to start saving. Remember, the word of God is quick and sharp. When God told Abraham to present Isaac to him, Isaac followed Abraham up the hill. And we saw Abraham bring out ropes and ties and legs and eyes Isaac would have screamed forth. It was just out. And at that point, as God said, "Ah, this young man, let me be of help to him." And so God had found the case on his head. Because when the Lord speaks, those who obey him in spirit and in truth, all that, those who obey in spirit and in truth, all of them are a blessing. They become one over time. You must remember that the word of God concerning you, especially in this season, is that you are a provision of abundance. The fruit of the womb, the fruit of the earth, the key of Father, everything that God, that you have given, that you have made me, that you have shown me, everything that will translate me from being in this situation to becoming a blessing. Somebody who will go from place to place and be a blessing, not trying to preach the gospel. Who, whenever he comes to anybody's house to sit with them, there'll be something very, very happy, fantastic. It is important that we all appreciate the grace that God has given unto us. We must be blessings, every one of us. We must be blessings. We must be blessings. We must allow the word of God to permeate our senses, to take it over and to direct us of or lead us into the direction we will go where our destiny will speak forth the goodness of God. You are a blessing. You are no longer just a plaintiff or an investigator. You are here because God has deemed it so, and God Himself has called you a blessing. It is now up to you to make yourself what God has called you. You make yourself it. You will say to yourself, "This is God's plan to me. God said this are not coming true." So, okay. I'm going to begin to pray. And I'll be saying from today that the plan of God for my life has come to pass, no matter what. And when you do this, you will see by the grace of God, by the grace of God, how much of a blessing the Lord has made you. Our brothers and sisters, remember that if you don't become a blessing, then you cannot flow to other people. Many of us pray, give me prayer. We never pray, "Father, I want to give. I want to be the one to give others. I want to remember the orphans. I want to remember the widows." We don't pray it. We are not developing the mindset of a blessing, and as a result, we are not becoming blessings. You have to develop the mindset first before you can get the opportunity to fulfill that mindset. It is very, very important that we ascend beyond where we are now, come up higher, that we go beyond this plane into a higher plane. And operate from that I have been from now henceforth. It is important that you that once you used to go to people and say, "Give me," that you get to a point, you become like Isaac. You discover the way of both. You become a channel, a source of water for those who are in the environment. You sow in the land that you reap so that all those who are around you are no longer angry. Or hungry, rather. You begin to show forth the blessings of God rather than every day kneeling down to say, "Father, this goofy is Father, Housewife, father, church, father, shop rent. And then every day, like a circle, you are just asking and asking and asking. Even though the Bible says we should pray without ceasing, it didn't say we should ask without ceasing. Because when you become a blessing, your prayers will be full of thanksgiving. All that you ever have, His hand will have provided. Was that not what you said in that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? All that you will ever need, His hand will have provided. That means you are now a blessing. Your well is no longer dry. As we give our offering this evening, I am asking that we give you the consciousness of being transformed into blessings, sources from where resources, life, health, good counsel, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Sources from where all these great things flow forth, where they flow outward, where they flow outward. That is what we want to be. That is why we are giving. I know I've heard the class. I know you will not have so much at the moment. But I told you at the beginning that some people, they have so much, but they even though they were rich physically, they were poor mentally. They were not blessings. And yesterday I told you the story of the four lepers who, even though they were poor, they had nothing. Ah, those guys were great blessings. They opened the door of a city into freedom and abundance. Why? Because they didn't have the mentality of a poor person. They were liberal. And the Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. As we give this night, this evening, that is what you are being transformed into. Tomorrow morning, prophetic service is a service of abundance, service of increase, the service of abundance. It is time for us in this generation to move from lamentation to thanksgiving. It is time to move from lack to plenty. It is time to take the reins of economic dominance. People preach about it, they pray about it. Oh, the wealth of the God has preserved the wealth of the righteous so that it can transfer to the righteous and all that. I know for sure that when you become a blessing, resources will flow through you effortlessly. You'll be able to buy properties and money will be happy in your hand. You want to buy a TV station, you want to buy it for God, you want to buy land, you want to buy this. Why? Because you are a blessing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your children. Thank you because we've given. And thank you because more than what we hear today, our spirit is open to becoming blessings. We have liberal souls. Our hearts are open to becoming blessings, and we are becoming it in our mentality, in our thinking, in everything that we do. When we see problems, we fix it. We do not shy away from being a blessing to those around us because it is in us. It is in us. It is in us to be the ones through whom the whole earth is blessed, according to the word of God. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory.
Glory. Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.